Well, you know, it's a little different now, you know, and in those days, all those styles of music were being born, you know, so I was lucky enough to be there during the birth of hip-hop with Afrika Bambaataa, Jazzy J, Red Alert. They were all DJing in my neighborhood, so I would go and check them out and get inspired and learned a lot from them. As well, my sisters were disco queens, so they were going to the Loft, the Paradise Garage, Studio 54, and all those places. And, you know, I would live the music through them because I was really young in the 70s, so, you know, I couldn't go to clubs and stuff. But today, I mean, you know, it's totally different in New York. A lot of the clubs that are happening are more the smaller clubs, you know, just a lot more intimate, which is really, really wonderful as well. It's really interesting.
You mentioned you started DJing as a youngster as well. You came from a musical family. How easy was that step from kind of behind the decks to the production studio?
Well, you know, I started DJing in the early 80s. I mean, I was 13 when I started DJing. It was when I first touched the turntable in 1978. And then, you know, worked my way up. I was an apprentice for one of my friends who was a mobile DJ. He did a lot of weddings and sweet 16s. And then, you know, I started borrowing his equipment and, you know, just practicing my technique and listening to other DJs and learning a lot from them. Eventually, in 1985, I started DJing in a club on Friday nights and then eventually Fridays and Saturdays in the Bronx, a place called the Devil's Nest. You know, a lot of record company executives would come up and to the party, and they'd love it. And they saw that, you know, I had this crowd up in the Bronx that was following me from all the different boroughs, not only the Bronx, you know, Brooklyn, Queens, Manhattan, Staten Island. They would all come down to the Bronx to this place. So I played a variation of music. At that time, you know, I played anything from hip-hop to reggae to disco to house music, you know, when it was first out with, you know, Mr. Fingers, Marshall Jefferson, Folly Jack, Master Funk, all the Chicago producers and New York producers as well, like Larry Levan and Timmy Regisford. And I think the record companies noticed, and they started wanting to bring me into the studio.
I'm just refreshing my kind of memory of your achievements and just some of the stuff that you've been involved in. Obviously, a huge back catalogue under your own name and under some aliases as well. There was that madly successful project with, I've got you on the line. Is it right? We want, is it New Eurekan Soul or is it New Eurekan Soul?
It's New Eurekan Soul.
See, there was always that question mark over in the UK.
That's right. I've heard a few people say it that way. I was like, really? You know, but it's kind of cool. Everybody just said it the way they kind of read it. So I guess late 50s, early 60s, a lot of people from Puerto Rico migrated to New York. And when they had kids, the kids weren't born in Puerto Rico. They were born in New York. So it was just like a street term. Instead of being Puerto Rican and you were in New York, you were born in New York, you're kind of became this New Eurekan. We're New Eurekan, Kenny Dope and myself. We were born in New York. He was born in Brooklyn. I was born in the Bronx. So we used that term, New Eurekan Soul. You know, Kenny and I developed this project. It started with a track called The Nervous Track on Nervous Records. And eventually, Giles Peterson comes up and says, hey, Louis, you know, I would love for you guys to do an album with that style, with that project. I said, well, it just so happens Kenny and I were thinking of doing something within that flavor. And from there, we just developed this project with a few of the notable artists that we've worked with over the years, and we started the project with Roy Ayers, Tito Puente, Eddie Palmieri, Jocelyn Brown, and India. And from there, it just kept growing, and next thing you know, George Benson was on it. I mean, you know, Kenny and I worked really hard, and it became a groundbreaking project for us.
Awesome album. You mentioned Kenny Dope, of course, on New Eurekan Soul, and a partner on Masters at Work. Any plans to get anything new from Masters at Work in the near future?
Yeah, well, you know, this year happens to be 20 years that Masters at Work makes, so we're thinking of coming together towards the end of the year and putting together kind of like a greatest hits where we're remixing each track, and when we're also getting another notable remixer to remix one of our tracks. We're going to put out this record towards the end of the year, and we want to tour. You know, we never really broke up. It's just that we kind of strayed away and started doing our own projects on our labels.
It just occurs to me that you're actually crazily busy. How do you keep up with, you know, residencies at Cielo in New York City? You've got the radio show going on. There's a clothing and hats and jewellery range. Elements of Life is the live band. You're obviously a keen supporter of your wife's career as well. How do you keep track of all this stuff?
Wow, man, you know a lot. Well, you know, for me, it's, you know, I still have the passion, and I think that's the key. You know what I mean? If I didn't have the passion, I wouldn't be doing this, and I'm still as excited as I was a long time ago.